several years ago, I shared a story with you about a trip I took as a college student. And if you recall, I was 19 years old, and our college baseball team took a trip to Honolulu, Hawaii. I know life's rough, but we were forced to do it. And we were there to play a series of baseball games, and at the end of the week, we were given one day off to do whatever we wanted to do. And so several of us decided to go snorkeling at a nearby bay. And after a few hours of doing that, we discovered that there were these round rock structures that one could get inside of if you timed the waves correctly, and you could go underneath a rock and end up what looked to be this round natural hot tub. But the key to this was timing it, because the undertow, obviously, and the waves would go up and down. So for several of us, we were able to do it. I, by the way, stood by the side and watched. I didn't want anything to do with it. But others were going back and forth. And there was this one man by the name of Kiyoki, and Kiyoki was doing it successfully several times. Except on one of the times, he misjudged the timing, and as he was going underwater, the water started to come up. And the more he tried to fight to get through the pressure of the water, to get through the other side, the more the water resisted against his head. And when he had swam and moved his arms with all his might to get underneath, he wasn't getting anywhere. And every time he would lift up his head, hoping that he would be in this circular natural hot tub, he was actually hitting his head on the top of this rock structure. Finally, somebody realized he was drowning and grabbed his leg and pulled him back to the other side. And as the blood was streaming down his head, he looked at the person who saved him and realized that he had just been rescued. Now, why do I share that story? I share that story because all of us, at some point in our lives, feel like we're drowning. No, not necessarily in a bay in Honolulu, Hawaii, but just in life, maybe through a family relationship or because of a work situation. But perhaps the most significant way that you and I are drowning and need to be rescued is because of a broken relationship with God. You see, when we have a broken relationship with God, we try all sorts of ways to try to satisfy that void in our life. And just like my teammate kept on banging his head on the top of his rock, on that rock, you and I do a number of different things to try to satisfy ourselves, but it never works. And we're longing to be satisfied, but we need a rescuer. And so this morning, or this afternoon, or this evening, let me get this right, in the next few minutes, I want to share with you about God's great plan to rescue you and to rescue me, and how the birth of Christ and His coming to earth is part of that mission. And the most succinct passage that I know of that describes that mission plan is a verse that we're all familiar with, and that's John 3:16. I know you've heard it a lot and you've seen it, but let me just read it for you again. For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through Him. And from these verses, I want to bring to your attention just 3 points about God's rescue plan. And the first is this: God's rescue mission is motivated by love. His rescue mission is motivated by love. Did you see those first few words? For God so loved. Now, it's easy to perhaps assume that each of us are quite lovable. But when you consider who God is, and His perfection, and His flawlessness, and His holiness, and you think of our rebellion against Him, you realize that we're really not quite as lovable as we might think we are. You see, the Bible teaches that God is perfect and flawless in character. in that He created mankind to worship Him above all else and to demonstrate love and devotion to Him, and by extending love to other people. But the fact of the matter is that if you and I are honest, our sin nature redirects the love that should be given towards God and to each other, and it turns it inward. And so the glory that God deserves gets turned into self-glory. And the honor that God deserves turns into self-honor. This is a major problem. And the Bible has a term for our narcissism and our self-centeredness, and that word is sin, which means missing the mark. Now, if you think that you're not missing the mark, I would suggest maybe talking to somebody who knows you well, perhaps one of your kids, like we just did a couple nights ago when we were discussing sin around the table. And so we asked our children, is Daddy a sinner? Yes. Well, it gets worse. Then we asked, is Mommy a sinner? To which they replied, definitely. Okay? At least I didn't get a definitely. So all of us have missed the mark in our lives, and the consequences of a life that's missed the mark is separation from God. And not only while we're here on earth, but for all of eternity. Yet the amazing thing is, like John 3:16 says, that in spite of our rebellion, God loves you and God loves me. But God's love is not just a mere sentiment. He doesn't just talk about love. He puts His love into action. And He demonstrates His love through action. And that's also part of God's rescue mission. See, verse 16 states that God gave His only Son. He gave His only Son. Now, this is an amazing statement when you consider who Jesus is. If you go around and you ask your average person who's Jesus, they might tell you that He's a good teacher or He's a prophet. But Jesus is much more than that. Listen to the words of Colossians. In describing Jesus, we read that He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by Him all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible. Whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through Him and for Him. And He is before all things, and in Him all things hold together. And He is the head of the body of the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead. And in everything He might be preeminent. For in Him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell. So God did not just send anyone. He sent His very best. He sent His Son. But the question is, why was it necessary for Him to send His Son? Why did Jesus have to leave heaven to put on flesh and be among us? Why couldn't somebody else pay the price for our sins? Well, the answer is found in 2 Corinthians 5:21, where we read, for our sake, He made Him to be who knew no sin, so that in Him we might become the righteousness of God. In other words, the life of holiness and righteousness that each of us were created to live, but that got twisted because of sin, Jesus lived that life to perfection. And so that made Him the perfect sacrifice for our sins. So when Jesus died on the cross, our lack of holiness and our lack of holiness was placed upon Him, and His perfect life, His perfect righteous life is given to us. God's rescue plan is motivated by love. It's demonstrated through action. And lastly, God's rescue mission is experienced through belief. Listen again to the end of John 3:16, and we read that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. The question tonight is this. Do you see your need to be rescued? Do you see in yourself the need to be right with God, to have a relationship with Him? The only way that that's possible is through the life and the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And that's why Jesus came. You know, lots of times when we think of Christmas, we think of baby Jesus. And we think of just how adorable He might have been. But the fact of the matter is that baby Jesus grew up. And baby Jesus became a man. And baby Jesus hung up on a cross on our behalf so that we can have a relationship with God and be made right with Him. So my question to you is, are you drowning spiritually tonight? Are you searching for purpose only to discover, like my friend did, that every aspiration, every pursuit that you go for to try to bring satisfaction in your life, you find to be futile and pointless? Well, the message of the birth of Jesus is this: for God so loved the world that He sent His only Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Jesus came so that you and I can be rescued.